Hello, Aquarius, and welcome to Tarot Studio for 2019. My name is Eric, and I am back with the completion of your reading. Thank you again for your patience. As you probably know, I have been deeply involved with the Intelligence Project. I am almost done. I have two signs left to do. Out of 24 projects, 22 are completed, 12 audio, and 12 written. 10 of the written are done. So anyway, I'm here and got some thoughts for you here in the last moments of the astrological year. The sun in the last degree of Pisces, the full moon approaching, and Mercury making a long conjunction to Neptune right now. All covered recently in Planet Waves and on Planet Waves FM. Worth checking out. We're in an utterly extraordinary moment of astrology on several different accounts. I mean, it's really everything happening at once, and by that I mean things I've never seen or that are completely new into our long era of history, things that haven't happened in 50 years or 35 years or whatever it might be, and all happening right now. So an exciting moment. Hopefully you are keeping your grounding and you are able to take care of yourself, and the people around you are doing well. So vis-a-vis this astrology, I do like to check in on the astrology before I get into the tarot. The thing you're most likely to be noticing in the foreground of your astrology is that Venus is in your sign, and that Venus is in a square to Mars. And whatever you can say about it, I have a very frightening chapter in my new nascent book called Astrology Revealed, where I look up every interpretation of Venus square Mars in my library. Not quite every, but like 11 different ones. You know, I went through all the... I have the luxury of having too many astrology books, and so one day I walked over to the Planet Waves office and started pulling them all off the shelves and copying out all the chapters on Venus square Mars. And it led me to determine that I don't really trust astrology books that much. And what I will say about this aspect is that it is describing something to express. Apart from any theoretical speculation about how this reflects on someone's character or whatever, a square wants to be expressed, and it wants to be expressed in a tangible way. And when we have Venus and Mars involved, we want to express with feeling, right? Not just with tweeting, but with feeling. And with passion, and there's a lot of sexual mojo churned up inside of Venus square Mars, and you've got the Venus end in Aquarius going on right now, and that is the mental side of the picture. You could also say that it's the emotional intelligence side of the picture, though it is the it's mental. It's Venus in Aquarius is kind of an avatar placement for a certain kind of very rare intelligence, and you've got this going on. And then the square is a meeting with Mars in Taurus. This is in your fourth house, and so the Mars in Taurus thing is just plain old carnal desire. It's about wanting physically, wanting to feel and feel through your body. This is considered risky territory now. The old admonition on the AOL website, when you would log in, remember you'd log in and it would say, "You've got mail," or the British one, "You've got post." And you'd look at it and it would say, "Surf safely." Surf safely. We all know what that means, right? Beware of naked things on the internet, or beware of smut in space, as the biological diagrams of the human body aboard the Voyager spacecraft were called by objectors. Smut in space. Beware of naked things. Surf safely. And so this this actually became like, all right, the internet is as dangerous as we will get. And then it became like, don't do anything especially interesting with your feelings or physicality. Your chart is suggesting to do things that are interesting with your feelings and your physicality, to express yourself, to feel, to challenge yourself, and to enter unknown territory. And that unknown territory is bringing forward the passion, the pathos, the feelings, the desires, the needs, the urgings, the longings, the deep craving for experience that we have here when we're feeling like we belong here. I mean, imagine what it took to get here. We take for granted the fact that we're here, but imagine what it took to actually get here. And imagine all of that curiosity extant to some degree in a non-physical being, in some creature in their bardo body floating around the ethers, and then you manage to actually incarnate. Imagine what it took to do that. Then you get here, and then all the rules say, "Oh, you can't do anything." Well, I'm here to say that there's other rules, and those rules say, yes, you can do things with yourself here. You can use your mind, body, feelings, curiosity, and passions and cravings to have experiences and to express what you contain. So the message, in my view, of these charts, particularly of you, is to connect with the deeper level of your feelings, not just the idea level, not just the avatar intellectual level, not just the emotionally aware level, but also the physically aware level, and perhaps notice where there may be some conflict between the concept of what you should want and what you actually want, and resolve that in some way that that affirms your experience and your existence rather than denies it. Additionally, let's talk about the charts here, like Orientado or Aquarius. We have a lot going on in your second house right now, second and third. But second is about self-esteem, self-respect, self-value, resources, and money. And this is the scene of some really interesting astrology, to wit, Mercury retrograding into Neptune. And this is a don't waste your money placement. It's be conscious of what you spend. Be conscious of committing resources right now. I would suggest not committing any new resources for at least 2 to 3 weeks till this starts to iron itself out. Today's March 19th. Mercury conjunction to Neptune is going to go on well into the first week of April. So let things sort out. There are some big changes in the overall value of Neptune as it reaches degree 18. This is out of the human design system. And so we may see a little of this pressure come off, and aggressive skepticism that we live with here, where the prevailing ethos of our times is this message that's tough on people who are kind-hearted, loving, and curious people. But there's a message: don't trust anything, don't trust anyone, it's all bad. And that's really something that can grind you down if you are a decent person. And we may see a little bit of relief from that. And acknowledge that part of existing is making mistakes, and that you'll make them here and there, but that's not an excuse to deny yourself experiences. One other bit: a lot of energy moving into your third as the sun goes into Aries, makes a conjunction to Chiron. I would call your attention to one of the most beautiful things I've ever written, in my opinion, astrologically, which is the Aries reading for intelligence, which is really a study in where Aries meets Aquarius. This is the perfect thing for the current astrology that we have. Anyone who has a subscription to intelligence gets this for free. I want everyone to have this if possible. I may even just post it to the open internet. And the thing here is that this is about you really doing Aquarius on the highest level, which is focusing your individuality in the context of a group, which is not does not mean waging a revolution or insurrection. It does not mean being antisocial. To the contrary, it means being social in a mature way where you understand who you are, you possess self-respect, you are seeking understanding of where you relate to your surroundings, your environment, and are able to express your ideas honestly and honestly assess what happens. You have a lot to express, I'll tell you that, and you have for some years the special utility, the gift of Chiron in the third house, which will hopefully, if you take advantage of it, get you from doubting your ideas to having enough faith in your ideas to experiment with them openly. Doubt might get you to not act, or doubt might get you to test and experiment. And I'm suggesting that you take the testing and experimentation route. All right, let's get some tarot cards going here, which is the purpose of our meeting today, and see what we've got here. I'm using the Handle Tarot by Rachel Pollack, one of my favorite modern decks. And let's put these cards down. You have a diagram for the spread that I use, the Celtic Wing spread invented for when I was working for the Jackie Stallone Psychic Circle in 1994 and 1995. My first real job doing this was doing tarot cards all night long. It was a real trippy job. I really loved it, and it was really over the top interesting to be fielding random phone calls all night long from all parts of the country, people in all conditions and all walks of life. And some nights I would do 20 tarot card readings, and I needed a spread that was fast and clear and dependable. Hence was born the Celtic Wings. And let's turn over the top card number 4, Ace of Wands. So I always check the position of what you want first, and this is a life-affirming statement of what you want, and that being the root of enterprise and distinction. It's the perfect Chiron in Aries, Sun in Aries kind of a placement, because it's fiery, it's got high initiative, and it means that you're focusing on the very root of your ability to create and express. So with that in mind, let's look at the main significator card. That's the Four of Swords. And so the Four of Swords is, it can mean a few different things. One, it can represent someone in a position of resting. There are some decks that call it truce, which is a state of like enforced peace. Other cards indicate a kind of recuperation. It depends on the context. I'm going to say this has you in a kind of state where you are inwardly focused and looking for where to move your outer consciousness. But let's see what the other cards say. If nothing else, right now, make sure that you get enough rest, but also think about when it's time to wake up. All right, the card in the second position is Bridget of Ireland. And it's funny, she's a fire goddess, but she's given a card in the cup suit. So there's a mix of fire and water here, and there's some henge described. It looks nothing like a Stonehenge. Plus, she's from Ireland. I don't know if there are henges in Ireland. Maybe somebody knows that. But in any event, there's this beautiful kind of stone circle or stone temple with a river running through it, coming out of her heart center, as kind of a sacred space. So that is a companion and a foundation and a kind of a model and a description of your inner being. The next card is another sword card. It's the ace. You've got two aces here. Remember the aces talk about the root of the power of the suit. So the ace of swords is the root of the power of air. It is therefore kind of a seed idea. Ace of wands is kind of a seed motivation. Now there's a seed idea. And where there's swords, you want to keep balance. So it is true that in the spread we have two swords, one wands, and one cup. So that's pretty good balance. Looking for some earthy grounding here. And let's see if we get that in the next. Well, not exactly. But we do get the High Priestess. We get now something that this is all pointing to. And the High Priestess, what is interesting about her is how, first of all, close to the beginning of the Major Arcana she is. Those first few cards of the Major Arcana are like proto cards. They're almost like germ cells in the story. They are archetypal illustrations of what a person is. So the first is the Fool. You know, ambisexual could be anything. Followed by the Magician, also kind of ambisexual, but leaning toward male. Then the High Priestess. Now we have a distinctly feminine expression, followed by the Empress, another feminine expression, followed by the Emperor. And so you've got the High Priestess here, and so the energy of this spread, well, is once again balanced. So you want to look for that sense of balanced, but it's still nebulous. It's still as if you have a concept of something, but you're not sure what that concept is. And we see that in the aces, because they're close to the very seed. They're close to the origin of things. And we see it in the High Priestess, who is not particularly well defined, but there is someone, something that is there. And notably, in a very strong position, there's a rune on that card, and I believe the rune is Uruz, the rune of strength. Okay, let's look at resistance. This is interesting. Okay, here's a clue as to why there feels like there's so much that's unexpressed in the spread. The resistance position, 6, is the 10 of wands. And this is like having too much integrity. It's being a little bit held down. The card is called oppression. And in the image we all know, being the one from the Rider-Waite deck, it's the one with the guy with the bundle of wood on his back, and he's carrying it, and he's kind of like straining under too much work. Be mindful of that. See what you can do to redistribute your workload. Make sure you've got to do everything. Prioritize. Make sure that things can safely be delayed are delayed. Make sure that things that need to be done soon are the things that need to be done soon. Work a little bit like an air traffic controller. The plane that's been circling for a while, that's running out of fuel, get that plane on the ground, and know who you can leave up there for a while. And like know what you must respond to immediately. And even if you prioritize a bit, you may find that you get some relief from this sensation. Let's see what help is available from the outside in the next two positions. All right. So this is a bit of a mixed thing here. We've got two cards in this position. The early spread has only one, so I've doubled that to two, describing relationships and environment. And one is, the one closest is the Ten of Cups, and then the one a little bit further out is the Seven of Swords, which is, the Ten of Cups is like, it's got a little bit of the too happy feeling. I mean, it's a happy card, no doubt, but it's also a 10. So it's at the point where something has to start over again. And you know, you can go back to the one. The 10 is saying stay close to your roots, and it's describing someone who may seem as if they've kind of gotten there. They've arrived in some way. And that may be true, but I'm wondering what this 7 of Swords is doing slightly beyond it. Is it another person who's a little more frustrated, a little more detached from their emotions? Is it a state of mind lurking behind the apparent contentment of someone close to you? So I would be listening carefully here and listening for how people feel behind what they say that they feel. You are clearly looking for an orientation, and I think you have the resources to find it within yourself, and therefore to not be too distracted by people around you who may set an example that's not entirely what you're looking for, not entirely what will help you. I think you want something more solid than this 10-7 combination, this 10 of Cups, this sense of really being fulfilled and like having arrived somewhere, and then this 7, which is this sense of futility that's lurking right behind it. And I'm not sure how to contextualize that for you, but maybe you know how to do that. Where does that combination of factors come up? Where does that formula come up? And what would it take to balance out these two things in some way? What would bring things to a more self-aware level on the Cups level? Might it be the 9 or the 3? You know, things are a little more stable. Or might it be shifting things on the mental level and going to a more balanced position? You know, there's not a lot of very balanced Swords cards. One of the underlying messages of the tarot is that the mental path is a very difficult path. It ends in a difficult situation, the 10 of Swords. And so you might want to come off the mental path entirely, or if there's someone close to you who's on this journey, help them shift into a more emotionally centered way of thinking and feeling and being. But maybe you can tell me what this is about. Outcome at present, course, and speed. All right, now we're talking. This is the Chariot, and the Chariot is this point of beginning. So the whole spread is talking about some kind of a point of beginning that seems to be either in retreat in some way, delayed hibernating, healing, or resting, followed by kind of a nebulous quality in the High Priestess, a sense of a decision that needs to be made, a sense of a lack of clarity about yourself, and not really knowing exactly who you are, and therefore looking for direction. But I would remain cautious looking for that direction outside of yourself, because I'm just concerned that the example that you may look to is going to be conflicted in a way that you need to sort out. So that would be useful information. In any event, the spread ends on the upper right with the Chariot, and the Chariot is where you actually begin. That's when movement commences. It's trump card number 7, and it's as if Providence moves you. You don't really have to do much. And that does look like an underlying theme of this whole spread, is that the thing you need to do is make sure that you stay as deeply in contact with yourself as you can. Make sure that you get the rest that you need. If you're one of these people who does need rest, some people don't need that much rest, actually. I'm learning a little bit about human design, and generators who make up a lot of the population don't need as much rest as all of the sleep articles that come up on your Firefox feed say that you need. So people are getting concerned about sleep. It's difficult to get sleep these days with all these networks broadcasting But do your best to do that and to get the nourishment you need and at least give your mind a rest. So the card ends on one level, at one end of the spread, with the Chariot, which has a way of prevailing over all of these. It's suggesting that you stick to your goals and don't be sidetracked by people who don't directly either support or facilitate the goals that you have. On the bottom of the spread, it ends with the Nine of Pentacles. This is exactly the card that this spread needs. The energy this spread needs is earthy energy. We've got that in the Pentacles. And it needs some, like, flexibility, which we get in the Nine. Some integrity, which we get in the Nine. Some concept of progress. Tangible concept of progress, which we get in the Nine, which talks about improving financial conditions. And the Nine, remember also that we learned from the Crowley deck, the Nine talks about the power of three-way collaboration. In the Crowley deck, in case you're wondering about the Nine of Pentacles, that's the signature card in the deck where the three collaborators on the deck signed the deck. I'm not sure who the third collaborator is. There is one. It was Lady Frida, Therion, Crowley, and then there was somebody else who was an influential associate in this five-year-long project of painting this deck. Poor Lady Frida had to paint some of the cards five times, and that's why we get this interesting and spooky deck. But in any event, to me, the Nine evokes the collaboration of three people, a balanced collaboration. The three-way collaborations can work very well because they're more stable than two-way collaborations. And so, get people going and set some goals and make sure that you're in tune with creating things and making a little bit of money in the process of doing so. Who knows? Maybe even a lot. But with the Mercury stationing direct the next couple of weeks, make sure that you delay decisions that you can and work with full information. As always indicated by Mercury stationing direct, and let the truth come out, sort things out, and make sure that you are fully present for and utilizing any information that comes your way. Thank you for listening. I would once again recommend the Aries and Aquarius readings in Intelligence. They happen to be pieces of writing I poured my heart into, and they are complementary, and there's so much about Aquarius in the Aries reading, so check that out. If funds are tight and you can't afford it, just drop me a note at efc@bookofblue.com. Thank you for being a Planet Waves customer. Thank you for trusting me as your reader. I know how serious this work is. That once I say something, it cannot be unsaid, so it goes into your mind, and so I aspire to be reassuring and positive and reminding you of the many resources that you possess. All right, happy full mooning and Mercury stationing direct conjunct Neptuning. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.